Hello, Dennis Thomas, pastor at Holiday Community Fellowship Church. As we continue our journey into the book of Revelation, we find ourselves at the fifth chapter. Today we'll be looking at the lion, the lamb, and the scroll. But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for the book of Revelation. Thank you so much for preserving such a wonderful book for us that we might come to understand more about your Son, Jesus Christ, and about your plan for the ages. So Lord, as we delve deeper into this book, and give us ears to hear and give us hearts to understand, in Jesus' name, amen. In the previous chapter, John was caught up into heaven. The scene is still in heaven, but the theme has changed from the worship of God to the Creator. So the chief theme has changed from what we worship to God, now it's changed to Creator, to the worship of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. The focus now shifts to a scroll. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 speaks of that. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. The scroll could not be read because it was rolled up and it had a seal on it. John could see writing on both sides. Rarely are scrolls written on both sides, which meant the message was complete. It was not only a complete message, but it was an involved message and it was a lengthy message. And nothing more could be added to it. What was written was complete and final. He saw seven seals. The contents are a secret. No unauthorized person could open it. But what does the seal signify? We're given a clue in chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. Given this clue in chapter 10, verse 7, we can come to understand that the scroll signifies the mystery of God. The scroll holds the answer to the greatest problem of human society. In spite of rapid technological and scientific progress, we can't put an end to war. We can't stop crime. We can't put an end to evil. And we most certainly cannot neglect or negate human misery. It tells how God is going to straighten out this mess we find ourselves in even today. And at the center of it all, guess who's there? Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. The next question becomes, who is worthy? The question at the heart of all politics. Think about it today. When politicians get together, the question at the heart of all politics, who is capable of leading us toward the solution of our problems? Who is smart enough? Who is strong enough? Who is moral enough? Who is worthy? This question also haunts John. An angel proclaims the invitation to all the universe. And the invitation is, who is worthy? And guess what? No one steps forward. There have been those in human history who thought they were worthy and turned out to be narcissistic, egocentric tyrants. Even the most heroic leaders in history have been proven unworthy. No one in the universe was found worthy as John began to weep. But then there's an answer, and it's already been solved. It's in verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." So, someone steps forward. It's one of the 24 elders, and he knows the answer. He tells John first, stop weeping. Do not weep. It's sort of like what Jesus has told us time to time. Do not be afraid. This elder has stepped forward and he's telling John, do not weep. Why? Because his tears were unnecessary. Excuse me. Human grief often comes from insufficient knowledge. God has the solution for situations that often bring us to tears. Jesus has won the victory. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. This means at least three things. He is able to know God's secrets, which no one else does. He is able to reveal God's secrets, which no one else does. And he is able to control the things which shall be. There is things coming, and he is in control of those things which shall be. He is called by two great titles in this passage. The Lion of Judah. Wow, listen to that. The image speaks of dignity. The image speaks of sovereignty. The image speaks of courage. The image speaks of victory. The root of David, as explained in Matthew 22nd chapter, verses 41 through 46, gives us some idea. This is Jesus speaking about the root of David. Chapter 22 of Matthew, verses 41 through 46. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, then how does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. Wow. Jesus stumped them all, didn't he? He brought David into existence. That speaks of Jesus' divine nature. He also is of the root of David. This speaks of Jesus' human nature. John turns to see the lion and sees a lamb. Look at verse 6. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. The description of the lamb is as such. The body of the lamb is wounded, as if it had been put to death. Without question, this lamb is the slain redeemer of the world, Jesus Christ. The marks of our Lord's death are still there, imprinted in his resurrected body for all eternity. It says that he has seven horns and seven eyes. Seven is the number of completeness or perfection. The horn is a symbol of power and of honor. The eyes are a symbol of full intelligence, full discernment and understanding through the Holy Spirit. The elder announced a lion and introduces a lamb. What is the meaning of all that? Here is the one who conquers by submitting. He is worthy of power and authority by reason of his meekness, innocence, and sacrifice. Here we see his majesty and meekness. The needy will find Jesus as the Lamb, full of mercy and grace. But guess what? The rebellious will find him as a lion. The Lamb takes up the scroll and heaven breaks out in praise. And we're going to talk about the praise from verses 7 through 14. Listen to this. The Lamb takes up the scroll and the heavens break out in praise. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature and every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Wow, what a scene. First, the praises of the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Here we see all nature and the church combining to praise God. Each has a harp, symbolizing the music of all creation. Each has a bowl, a golden bowl full of incense, representing the prayers of the saints to God. And each of them sang a song. What kind of song did they sing? What kind of songs did they sing? They sang worship hymns. "You are worthy." To worship means to ascribe worth to something. Jesus alone is worthy. There is no other who is worthy. There is no other that we can ascribe worth to but Jesus Christ. They sang a gospel song. "Who you were slain." The word means violently slain, not just kind of beat up and laid on the side of the road to die. He was violently slain. Heaven sings about the cross and the blood. Still, even in heaven, they sing about the cross and the blood. There is a missionary hymn here, a missionary song. "Purchased people from every tribe, language, people, and nation." Tribe refers to common ancestor. Language refers to a common language. People means a common race. And nation refers to a common rule of government. God loves the whole world. John 3:16 reminds us of that, which is the gospel message in a verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but will have eternal life." The story of Christians who did not believe in missions. However, there was this story. And it was about this mission, this Christian who went to a mission, but he didn't believe in missions. Somehow he ended up at this missions rally. When the plate was passed, he said to the usher, "I don't believe in missions." And the usher turned to him and said, "Take some out then. It's for the heathens." Wow. Powerful conviction there. There were devotional hymns sang. It announces our position in Christ's kingdom of priests. That's who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, and it opened up a way for us to access God again through the precious blood of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. The way was opened, and therefore, when we received that salvation that came through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we became ambassadors for Jesus. We became ambassadors for God and the Holy Spirit. There were also prophetic hymns saying, We shall reign on earth. When Jesus returns, he will establish his kingdom, and we shall reign with him. Prophetic, that means that is coming. That's something in the future. Second, first we saw the praises of the four living creatures. Next, we saw the praises of the angels. All the inhabitants of heaven, they proclaim the things Jesus is worthy to receive because of his sacrificial death at the cross at Calvary, on the cross at Calvary. When he was on earth, he did not receive these things, and many, even today, do not ascribe any of that to Jesus the Christ. But what does it mean to ascribe to? What was ascribed to Jesus? Well, one thing that was ascribed to him was power. Born in weakness, died in weakness. He is the recipient, however, of all power. He was ascribed wealth, became the poorest of the poor, yet owns the riches of heaven and earth. He was ascribed wisdom. He was laughed at and called a fool, yet he is the wisdom of God. He was ascribed strength. He shared in the weaknesses of humanity. Today he possesses all strength. He was ascribed honor. He experienced humiliation and shamed, mocked as a king. He was received, and he has received all honor. He was ascribed glory. He gave it all up. Now it has been restored to him in full. He was ascribed praise. He accepted the curse of the cross and is now worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Third, the praise service climaxed with the universe praising the Lamb of God and the Father seated on the throne. You can almost get a mental image of that, can't you? All beings ever created are praising God as he's seated on the throne. And following all this, there was a loud amen. Amen. In heaven, do you know that we are permitted to say amen? You may want to get in practice today by rendering a few prayers and saying amen. All the praise came because the Lamb took the scroll from the Father's hand. That's why all this praise came about in chapter 5. Because the Lamb took the scroll, was able to take the scroll from the Father's hand. God's great plan will now be fulfilled. That's the indication of things coming to fruition, things coming to fullness. His plan is going to be fulfilled. One day the Lamb will break the seals and put in motion the events that will eventually lead to his coming. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. There will be no exceptions. You will confess his lordship, and so will I. The question is, as we bring this chapter to a close, when that moment comes, will our hearts be filled with rejoicing, or will they be filled with regret? It is not a choice for the future. It is a choice for today. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this glorious book 5 of Revelation, which speaks of the lion and the lamb, and it speaks of the scroll. And Lord, thank you, Father God, for sending your Son to die on the cross, that he is worthy to receive the scroll from your hand. Praise be to your holy name. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have given us this revelation. We pray, Lord, that we'll continue to seek out you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be merciful unto us. Reveal thyself unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go in peace.